तत्सदा नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम
रीडिंग श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 7 टेक्स्ट 30 एंड 31।
गुरु शुश्रूषया भक्त्या सब सर्वलोभार्पणेन च संगेन साधु भक्तानां ईश्वराराधनेन च श्रद्धया तत्कथयां च कीर्तनैर्गुणकर्मणां तत्पदाम्बुरुहु ध्यानात् तल्लिंग अक्षारणादिभि
गुरु शुश्रूष। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। ट्रांसलेशन। वन मस्ट एक्सेप्ट द बोनाफाइड स्पिरिचुअल मास्टर एंड रेंडर सर्विस अनटू हिम विथ ग्रेट डिवोशन एंड फेथ। वट एवर वन हैज इन वन्स पोजेशन should be offered to the spiritual master, and in the association of saintly persons and devotees, one should worship the Lord, hear the glories of the Lord with faith, glorify transcendental qualities and activities of the Lord, always meditate on the Lord's lotus feet, and worship the deity of the Lord strictly according to the injunctions of the Shastra and Guru. Purport. In the previous verse, it has been said that the process which immediately increases one's love and affection for the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the best of the many thousands of the ways to become free from the entanglement of material existence. It is also said, dharmasya tattvam nihitam guhayam. Actually, the truth of religious principles is extremely confidential. Nonetheless, it can be understood very easily if one actually adopts the principles of religion. As it is said, dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. The process of religion is enunciated by the Supreme Lord because he is the supreme authority. This is also indicated in the previous verse by the words bhagavat toditaha. The injunctions or the directions of the Lord are infallible, and their benefits are fully assured. According to his directions, which are explained in this verse, the perfect form of religion is Bhakti Yoga. To practice Bhakti Yoga, one must first accept a bona fide spiritual master. Srila Rupa Goswami in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu advises, Guru Pada Shrayastasmat Krishna Dikshadi Shikshanam Visrambhena Guru Seva Sadhu Vartmanu Vartanam Saddharma Pricha Bhogadi Tyaga Krishnasya Hetavai. One's first duty is to accept a bona fide spiritual master. The student or disciple should be very inquisitive. He should be eager to know the complete truth about eternal religion, Sanatana Dharma. The words Guru Shushrushaya mean that one should personally serve the spiritual master by giving him bodily comforts, helping him in bathing, dressing, sleeping, eating, and so on. This is called Guru Shushrushana, Guru Shushrushanam. A disciple should serve the spiritual master as a menial servant, and whatever he has in his possession should be dedicated to the spiritual master. Praner Arther Dhya Vacha. Everyone has his life, his wealth, his intelligence, and his words, and all of them should be offered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead through the via medium of the spiritual master. Everything should be offered to the spiritual master as a matter of duty, but the offering should be made to the spiritual master with heart and soul, not artificially to gain material prestige. This offering is called arpana. Moreover, one should live among devotees, saintly persons, to learn the etiquette and proper behavior of devotional service. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur remarks in this connection that whatever is offered to the spiritual master should be offered with love and affection, not for material adoration. Similarly, it is recommended that one associate with devotees, but there must be some discrimination. Actually, a sadhu, a saintly person, must be saintly in his behavior. Sadhava sad acharaha. Unless one adheres to this standard of behavior, one's position as a sadhu, a saintly person, is not complete. Therefore, a Vaishnava, a sadhu, must completely adhere to that standard of behavior. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says that a Vaishnava, a person initiated into the Vaishnava cult, should be offered the respect befitting a Vaishnava, which means that he should be offered service and prayers. However, one should not associate with him if he is not a fit person with whom to associate. Krishna. So, today's verse, Prahlad Maharaj is speaking to his friends who are born of demoniac families. And nowadays, we can see all of them all over. And how to come to spiritual life, practice spiritual life and attain success, is that everything is there in this verse, in these two verses we can see here. Firstly, he is suggesting that one must accept the bona fide spiritual master and render service unto him with great devotion and faith. And second, whatever one has in his possession should be offered to the spiritual master. So this is how relationship with spiritual master begins. Render service and surrender everything. And third, in the association of saintly persons and devotees, one should worship the Lord. One should hear the glories of the Lord with faith and glorify the transcendental qualities and activities of the Lord. One should always meditate on the lotus feet of the Lord and worship the deity of the Lord strictly according to the injunctions of the Shastra and Guru. This is what these two verses is speaking. Now when you come to Krishna consciousness, so many things we want to know. Whatever we do, is it there in the Shastra? Here we can see these two verses clearly mentions whatever we do. We serve spiritual master, we chant Hare Krishna, we hear Bhagavatam, we speak Bhagavatam, and we try to remember the lotus feet of the Lord all the time, and we worship the deity. This is what these two verses speaking straight. And for a person who is living in this material world, it's very difficult to understand why one should accept a spiritual master. Is there a need of spiritual master? So people have so many masters outside, you know. They have bosses in the office and bosses in the house also. Everybody is like, wife thinks he is the boss and husband thinks he is the boss, like that. And we have our senses as the boss. They dictate, do this, do that, eat this, eat that. So many ways. It's not that we don't have masters. We have many masters. But when we come to accept a spiritual master, somebody is told to accept a spiritual master, then he questions why. As if he is the sole master in the whole world. But actually, people ask in this way because whatever they have done in their life, Gaurangpa was explaining in one of the college preaching classes, that people's faith in doing something or to start a new thing, you need to have faith. And they're ready to invest their faith in certain things where they can get something in return. So their faith is, he says, need-based. Need means what can I get out of it? So because this is the way the whole mass of people are, you know, their upbringing is like that. The way they think is that thought process is molded like that. Therefore, they always ask, what am I going to get? Then I'm ready to put my faith. So therefore, when they go to spiritual, some people, they go to spiritual master, they have different ideas. Like this, somebody think, well, I have tried so many ways to become happy. Let me try some spiritual life also. In this way, people come to spiritual. Little bit inquisitive. There's nothing wrong. But still, just to try out. There are certain other people who they think that many people are having a spiritual master, therefore I should also have one. Just like my neighbor is having a car, therefore I should also have a car. No, otherwise, my prestige will be lowered. There are certain other people who go to spiritual master to get material benefits. To gain some good health or more money, more bank balance, so that they can get the blessings of the sadhus. Like one person was approaching Srila Prabhupada and he was requesting Prabhupada, please give me your blessings, please give me your blessings, again and again. Then Prabhupada said, if I give you my blessings, then you will be like one of this. He pointed to his brahmachari disciples who are all seven-headed and saffron. As soon as they heard that, they said, no, we don't want your blessings. Anyway, but people go with this kind of ideas. So, in this world, people don't have any idea of what is a spiritual life and what is a spiritual master. And because of their own upbringing, because of their own way of thinking, they are unable to figure out, why do I need a spiritual master at all? Like Bhavanand Prabhu was explaining this story a few days back here in this temple, that how one of his friends, this is a lady, and she met with a severe accident along with her son, and the son practically broke his backbone and was admitted in the hospital, and she was also badly wounded. And Bhavanand Prabhu told her, see how this material life is, material world is, that anything can happen anytime. And she said, yeah, it's so true that anything can happen anytime, therefore I must seize all the moments of my life and enjoy it, because anything can happen anytime. So this is the way people think. People think this way. When they're supposed to ask in a different way. When calamities come, we're supposed to ask, why am I suffering? I don't want it. Why it is forced on me? Why am I? Who am I? What am I doing here? Why am I suffering? Instead of asking all these questions, they try to patch up the problems and enjoy anyway. This is called ignorance. This is called a sleeping state. It's like some people, they keep sleeping like early in the morning. If you try to wake them up, they're not willing to wake up. In fact, they would object, they would rebuke if somebody try to wake him up. Like in hostels, doors, they write, lion inside, don't try to wake up. It's a lion den, they write on the front door, don't try to knock or disturb. Because early morning is very important for sleeping. But actually, if somebody gets up and comes out on the street or in the open air and experience the early morning sun and fresh air, that's like a wonderful experience. Many people go for a walk in the morning, they have this experience. So, instead of asking, who am I, why am I suffering, people rather prefer to stay in a lifestyle where they cannot avoid suffering anyway. So therefore, one has to understand that my approach to spiritual master is actually to overcome these problems. These are my needs. This is also need-based, but one has to understand, actually, truly I need a spiritual master, not just a formality, not just another try. Just trying out means it's a lukewarm approach. I'll try a spiritual life. Let us see what is happening. That's a lukewarm approach. No, one should properly understand his situation, this world situation. And in this way, if one has sufficient intelligence, then he can actually say, yes, I need a spiritual master. Not that I will escape miseries by patching up this way or that way. Some people approach for material gain. That is also not allowed, because after endeavoring so much for material happiness in so many ways, when one experiences misery, then when one comes to spiritual master, again you should not ask for the same thing. It is like self-contradictory. We have already experienced misery because of material attempts. Now coming to spiritual bliss, the same thing. It's like Bhagavad Gita explains, it's like starting a fire and putting water in it again. It will not have any effect. Therefore, Shastra says that one has to approach a spiritual master because he has no other way. Tadvijnanartham sa guru meva avigachya. That means one must approach to understand who is he, what is this material world, and how, why is suffering, how I can overcome this suffering. So it is not just another try, or it's not just another social custom, like I was telling, somebody is having a car, therefore I shall also have a car. Like somebody is having a guru, therefore I shall also have a guru, otherwise my material prestige will be less. This is the expression of envy, actually, competitiveness. Somebody is having a car, I must have a car. Somebody is having a guru, I also must have a guru. Not that way, but rather one has to approach a spiritual master for understanding the truth of lives. So one who is fortunate enough to be endowed with this kind of intelligence, he actually searches for a guru, and surely he is helped by Krishna. But however, nobody in this day and age, we can see, actually thinking like this. None of, like most of us, very few actually, but most of us never thought that we need a guru. We never thought. We thought we'll work out, we'll figure out our problems and solve them and be happy in this world. But after repeated trying, when things doesn't happen and somebody comes and says, yes, you need a guru, devotee preach. Therefore devotee preach, because nobody is able to figure out how Krishna is going to help him. If somebody is not looking for a guru, then why should Krishna help him? Yathama prapadyante. One who looking for a guru, Krishna helps him to find a guru, like Dhruva Maharaj. He was wanting to see Krishna, his spiritual search was there. Therefore, he helped him by supplying a guru. But if one doesn't have a spiritual desire at all, then how Krishna is going to help? And therefore, Krishna actually indeed helps them by sending his devotees. Krishna does not tell them directly. Krishna does not intervene directly in somebody's life, because that means Krishna will be criticized by saying he is selfish. He is propagating his message so that people come to him and serve him. It's not fair. If somebody is not liking you, you directly tell him you like me or you love me directly. Despite the fact that he doesn't like you. Therefore, Krishna sends his devotees so that they can preach this message. Your solution is here at the lotus feet of Krishna. Turn to him. And in this way, at this time, the preaching of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission is actually helping people to come to the lotus feet of Krishna. So, Lord Krishna sends bona fide devotees, by whose mercy we get the seed of devotion. Guru Krishna Prasadepai Bhakti Lata Bij. That means this seed of devotion, which is absolutely not there in anybody's heart, is planted. The seed. It has not fructified yet, just the seed. And when we accept that seed and water it by chanting Hare Krishna, gradually devotion for the Lord increases step by step. But one should understand this is just the beginning. This is the beginning. So one has to, when you say spiritual master, accepting spiritual master means he is not the master of the senses. He is not only the master of the senses or mind or intelligence, but is also master of the very soul. Sometimes when a person goes and work in the office, he surrendered to the boss, but to a certain extent, his intelligence is surrendered. He is working for him. But his senses, what he is going to eat in his lunch, there is no control over him. But when he says spiritual master, that means he is master of everything, not only senses, but just mind, intelligence, everything is surrendered. So therefore, what we eat, what we see, what we think, what we try to understand and explain, everything is controlled by the spiritual master. And when one surrenders in this way to spiritual master, his life will gradually turn to Krishna's lotus feet. Otherwise, it is very difficult. But because of conditionings and anarthas, it's very difficult for people to accept the spiritual master as such. Therefore, the process is mentioned, like in this verse. It is said that Guru Susrushaya Bhaktya Sarva Labdhar Panenacha Sangana Sadhu Bhaktanam Ishwaranadhan Aradhananacha. One must accept the bona fide spiritual master and render service unto him with great devotion and faith. It is explained, Adho Sraddha Tatha Sadhu Sang. So initially one has to have faith. Just like I was explaining, like how Gaurang Prabhu was telling, that the faith we invest is needless in this. Therefore one has to understand, why am I have to apply the faith? And Prabhupada says, this faith means, faith in spiritual master means one seriously thinks, now I want to be Krishna conscious. When one thinks like that, now I want to be Krishna, that means he has sraddha. Sraddha does not just mean faith. It means faith with a positive disposition. He has a liking, not just a belief. He has a positive liking. Yes, I want to be Krishna conscious. Yes, I need a spiritual master. Yes, I want to serve spiritual master. This is my desire. When one develops such desire, that is called sraddha. Then Guru Shushrushaya. And Prabhupada is explaining these words. Guru Shushrushaya means that one should personally serve the spiritual master by giving him bodily comforts, helping him in bathing, dressing, sleeping, eating and so on. Like our devotees, when they serve spiritual master, they make the bed for the spiritual master, bodily comfort. And sometimes they supply warm water for his bathing, right? Sometimes they provide him clean cloths for dressing and nice prasadam for eating. In this way, Prabhupada is saying, this is Guru Shushrushaya. Now why this is? Is this what Guru needs from a disciple? There are so many things actually in this relationship. Guru does not need any bodily comforts or whatsoever in the sense of sense gratification. But when lovingly such services are offered, because love element is there, therefore he accepts it. Like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he would sit for prasad, he would always say, give me some steam vegetables, steam leafy vegetables, lafada, and some rice, and serve all the sweets and nice items to all other devotees. He would always say like that. But nevertheless, devotees bring so many items, so many varieties, that the Lord, although in his heart he does not want to eat because of his role as a sannyasi, but still he would accept because it is offered so much love and devotion that he takes it for the pleasure of devotees. So, while serving Guru in his association, his associations actually gives a devotee, a disciple, the qualities that the spiritual master has. When the service is proper, like Srila Prabhupada says, and devotees are telling them, well, we are going out and giving these books to so many people. They say, you give books and you go away and nobody is there. We don't get association of anyone. Some people say like that. Just giving books, is it enough? Prabhupada says, no. You can tell them. You can tell them that all of them can come. And each one of them can live with me. Prabhupada is telling. They can live with me for 3 days, and after 3 days they'll be like me, like kind of resurrection. You know, Jesus Christ, he came after 3 days after his crucifixion. So similarly, Prabhupada is offering, they can come and live with me for 3 days, and after 3 days they'll be like me. And that means they'll be like pure devotees. We cannot reach the level of Prabhupada, or we can never compare to spiritual master. But the idea is, when we serve him in his association, then we get that qualities. Spiritual qualities. And he has very mercifully allows us to the serve, although he doesn't need any of the service. But that is the understanding. So here we see, like Prabhupada is giving few verses, quoting Rupa Goswami, that Guru Pradasrayas Tasmat, Padasrayas Tasmat, Krishna Dikshadi Shikshanam, Visrambena Guru Seva Sadhu Vartamanu Vartanam. That one has to serve Guru, lotus feet, and receive initiation from him and his teachings, Sikshanam. Visrambena Guru Seva. Visrambena means with intimacy. Intimacy does not mean loose behavior. Intimacy means in close quarter but with respect. That's what one verse in Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto, actually explains a similar thing. How Debahuti, Mother Debahuti, served Kardam Muni, her husband. Great sage. It is explained there, Visram Venatma Sauchena, Gauravena Damenacha, Susushaya Saudrena, Vacha Madhuraya Chabhoho. It is said that Visram Venatma Sauchena. That means she served Kardam Muni with intimacy. But how is that intimacy? Gauravena Damenacha. Sochana Gauravena Damenacha. These are the words used. Sochana means with clean mind. Socha means clean. Bodily clean and internal cleanliness. With a clean, pure mind, and she served. How? Gauravena means with respect. No loose behavior. With respect. And Damenacha means controlled senses. Shushrusaya Saudena. That means with loving heart. With a loving heart. Not just, you know, just like here is food, like they serve in the hostel mess. When you sit for lunch, the person comes with roti, just kind of. He has to quickly do, of course. But there is no love in that sense. Okay, he has to finish the job. But while serving the Guru, there has to be love and devotion. So then, Vacha Madhuraya Chavho. Vacha Madhuraya means one's talking should be sweet, not harsh. Because when a person comes to Krishna consciousness after so much mental frustration, so while dealing with devotees also, that frustration sometimes comes out in expression. And there is harsh behavior. That is conditioned state basically. But while dealing with spiritual master, especially pure devotees, one has to be very, very careful not to speak anything that is... One has to offer sweet words, basically. Not just spoke roughly, foolishly, or in a wrong way. One has to follow the etiquette. That is how one has to serve spiritual master. When one does that, then he actually gets the mercy of spiritual master. And this is called Sadhu Sangha. Such type of Sangha is genuinely possible when one has Shraddha or the faith. Adho Shraddha, as I explained. Unless one has that Shraddha, such type of association is not possible. When one's mind is full of doubts and he does not have proper attitude, then his association will not be very productive. It will not purify. So, adho shraddha tatha sadho sangha tatha bhajana kriya. And in this way, the devotee receives the bhajana kriya, chanting of the holy name, worshipping the deity through the association of spiritual master. And bhajana kriya is the process that one accepts. Does not mean he is doing it right. Just accepting the process does not mean it is performed rightly. Therefore, bhajana kriya has two aspects. One is offensive, one is without offense. So offensive stage is called anartha nibruti. Tatha anartha nibruti syat. So we are trying to serve Guru, Krishna, devotees, Vaishnavas, but at the same time offenses are going on and the result will not be effective. So when one comes to do these services without offense, then anartha will be removed very fast. The anartha nivritti stage will start and one can start feeling the purification. And this is the most long, and depending on how one is doing it, normally it is going to be long for a ordinary devotees like myself. It's going to take time. So one has to, but one has not, one is not supposed to stop the process. It's like it is explained. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains Chetadarpana Marjanam. They say cleaning the room. So while cleaning the room, so many things will come up, dust will come up. Does not mean we stop it. If we stop it, it will 1 second settle back where it was. So this cleansing process is what the spiritual life is. Purifying one's existence. Senses, mind, intelligence, and reaching to the stage of soul. Soul is already clean. Only it has to be revealed. And this whole thing is actually very nicely exhibited by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself while he cleansed the Gundicha temple. Nowadays Ratha Yatra is going on. So I was thinking to just include it in my small presentation. Because in this particular pastime, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually demonstrated how one has to cleanse his heart. And it's a very nice pastime and very elaborate also. We cannot discuss in such detail. But I'll try to touch a few important points as explained by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur Prabhupada, which was given in the Chaitanya Charitamrita purports by Srila Prabhupada. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was living in a very nice, loving relationship among with devotees in Jagannath Puri. At that time, Pratapudra Maharaj was trying to approach him to get his mercy, but he was denied again and again. And there is a very nice conversation going on between the devotees and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this particular chapter of Gundicha Marjan. Because that chapter also included, I think it is included in that way because he also want to approach being after giving up all his kingdom or his king's position, whatever the material wealth, the prestige associated with the king, everything he wants to give up and actually surrender to Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna. Anyway, Mahaprabhu repeatedly refusing, and in the meantime, the Ratha Yatra festival approaches. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu calls the superintendent of Jagannath temple and requests him, please allow me to clean Gundicha temple. So it's like kind of requesting, begging the permission so that he can clean the temple. Now he is actually the Supreme Lord, and undoubtedly he is the authority at that time in Jagannath Puri. The king already placed all the orders. Whatever Mahaprabhu says, it should be immediately done without any delay, hesitant, whatever. But still, in his humility, he is seeking the permission, going through the official way. Similarly, we should also approach spiritual master in a begging humble mood to receive the holy name. Because holy name is going to be the cleansing agent. And he is asking for broomsticks and water pots so that he can cleanse Gundicha temple. So the initiation process itself is a very humble way when one understands that I don't have no other way to become happy in this world or to become successful in knowing things. Therefore, I need spiritual master and I cannot demand things. Because I don't have it, therefore I have to beg. So in this way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in this particular pastime, he begins like this. This Kaviraj Goswami explains that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is seeking the permission. Please, kindly allow us. Of course, he says, you are the Supreme Lord. Whatever you want, that has to be immediately done. We have no problems. Tomorrow morning, we'll provide you 100 broomsticks and 100 water pots. So next morning, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all the devotees, they quickly go and take a bath early in the morning. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, with his personal hand, puts chandan on the forehead of all devotees and gives them a broomstick. It's like initiation, giving broomstick, like we get the holy name, the beads. So he gives them holy broomsticks and all of them marches to Gundicha temple. And there, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu starts the cleaning process. This starts from the Garbhagriha where the Lord is going to sit following day, Jagannath. And he cleans it First, they picks up all the straw and they remove the dust, the sand particles, grass particles, and then they broom the whole place. And they are working with very lot of enthusiasm. This cleansing process, if you can all read these pastimes. If you read this pastime, you will see how the whole thing was done very enthusiastically. Therefore, when we chant Hare Krishna, there has to be enthusiasm. If there is no enthusiasm, if it is done in a lukewarm spirit, then the effect will not be there. Just like in government offices you have seen, or railway stations or government hospital, the sweeper, they roam around with a jhadu all day long, but hardly they put anywhere, you know. They just pretend as if they are, you know, cleaning. They go around and they pretend to clean, but nothing actually happens. It is all, only time you see the dirt. So that should not be the attitude. No lukewarm. It should be done with enthusiasm. Now enthusiasm is there, things will be done properly. When it is done properly, there will be effect. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he explains that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is actually telling, through this pastime he is explaining his own teachings, that Cheta Darpana Marjanam, that one's mind has to be clean, one's heart has to be clean before allowing the Lord to come and sit in one's heart. We cannot invite Lord to a dirty place. Whenever we have, like in JJ Medical College, they have every year this Janmashtami, they take up a place, the common room where they have to bring the Lord. At least one day they spend cleaning that place. It's an unclean place. Or many places I have seen, some places people also eat meat and drink wine, these places. We take up and clean that place very, you know, thoroughly. Then sprinkle cow dung and everything, then purify. Then only invite the Lord. Similarly, the whole spiritual process is actually invite the Lord to our heart. One does it, he has to clean the whole heart. And cleansing is not easy. There are first these gross objects has to be taken out, then they soap the whole place. Then Chaitanya asks for the water, then pour water all over the ceiling, the walls, the floor, everywhere they put the water. So you can see there is, we have these gross desires and we have the subtle desires. The gross desires are like Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur says, that impersonal speculation, monoism, speculative knowledge, mystic yoga, meditation are all compared to grains and sands. And before that he says, material upliftments, fruitive act, understanding the supreme by speculative knowledge, severe austerity and penance, these are all like the dust. Therefore, these desires has to be emptied. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu picks them up, puts them in his own cloth, takes them outside the boundary and throws it out. It's not that he just takes and keeps it from one place to another place. So you should not take out the desires from heart one's chamber to another. It has to be completely removed outside. Then only there will be effect. And he says, Krishna is there in the heart. Srinatam Sukatha Krishna Punya Sravana Krishna Kirtanam. Like when we chant Krishna's holy name, when we glorify Krishna, whatever avadra in the heart is there, all these things are cleansed with the help of Krishna himself. So Krishna is right there as super soul. And when we start the cleaning process, he also helps. Like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself is helping to clean the Gundicha temple. So therefore, all these desires, anya vilasita sunyam, it has to go. Then only there will be cleaning, Krishna can come. And it is explained by Prabhupada, is explaining in the purport that how these desires are very stuck, very, very to the very core of the heart, and is stuck very hard, very difficult to move, remove. He says, "Samsara bishanale divanisi hiya jale," that because of this desires to enjoy material life, and this burning desires actually so strong, all these desires they create so much heat, that the dirt, they actually practically burn and they stuck to the heart. Just like a pan we cook sometime, the oils and everything, they burn only the stuck to the pot. It's very difficult to scrub it out. So like these desires, because of intense heat of the material desire, they're stuck to our heart very strong. And therefore, one has to chant the holy name very, very sincerely, properly. Then these things can come out. Because holy name is very powerful. It can clean everything. So all these desires, material desires, fruitive activities, even the speculation, austerity, penance, everything he says is an obstacle. Now one may say, well, fruitive desires are obstacle, one can understand. But penance, speculative knowledge, why they are obstacles? One may think like that. There is apparently they are like spiritual life. But Bhaktivinoda Saraswati Thakur says that the speculative knowledge, mystic yoga, meditation are all compared to grains of sand. They simply cause irritation to the heart. It's like kind of agitation. That with my knowledge, my intelligence, I can understand Krishna. And when we are trying to serve Krishna, at the same time speculate, it is a uncomfortable situation for Krishna himself. The irritation not only causes to our heart, if Krishna also comes, it will irritate him also. That grains will irritate Krishna also. He is there to give us direction. He is speaking through Gita and Bhagavad so clearly. But we want to speculate on our own, then it will disturb him unnecessarily. That when one goes to service, devotional service, one has to get rid of all these things. Penance people do so that they can gain control and energy. They can gain control and power. That means they want to be mastered in some way. All these things, while trying to be a servant, when one tries to acquire this power, that becomes an irritation to the Lord. And therefore, devotion cannot fructify in such a heart. Therefore, Anyabhilashita Shunya means throughout all these things, outside the boundary. And then when one serves, then he will actually become purified. And it is explained at the end of this, it is explained that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did this service twice. He did it twice. First he cleansed and again he cleansed it. Bhaktivinoda Saraswati Thakur says, this is to remove the gross and then the subtle. And the subtles are very, just like I was telling, they are very, very sticky and they're stuck to the heart very strong. And he not only says, not only just this speculative knowledge and mystic process, but he also wants the devotee while practicing also can become a victim to these anarthas, subtle anarthas. And there he says, jiva himsa, pratishtha, kutinati. Kutinati means fault finding. Pratishtha means desire for name and fame, high positions. Like anybody, even a devotee desire sometimes after coming to Krishna consciousness, this desire comes up again. To become a leader, or to become this, or to become that. That desires come, and there he said, this is subtle. Although he has become a devotee, still the desires come up. That means, this is actually worse than this speculative knowledge in one sense, because after accepting devotional life, when these things come, it's very, very unfortunate situation. Therefore, these are subtle, and they are very strong. And they come in guise, like somebody may want to be a preaching, or like Prabhupada explains, one may want to do this nirjan bhajan, bhajan in a solitary place, saying that I will be like Haridas Thakur, who was doing solitary bhajan. Then, why he does it? So that he can get some name and fame. People will say, oh, he's so great, like that. So these desires, subtle desires are there, and these desires can spoil the devotional life completely. Haridas Thakur had no such desire to become fame. So therefore, even after becoming devotee, the subtle desires manifest in a way that the person even may not notice it. And that is the time when spiritual master actually helps, because he is the master. He takes care of the servant. So when he serves spiritual master under his shelter along with devotees, such mistakes will always be corrected. And one is safe. So he cleansed twice, because gross desire has to go outside the compound, and subtle desire from within, whatever comes, has to be cleansed regularly. And in this way, when he cleansed the whole place, the whole people in Jagannath Puri, they could not believe that place was so clean, so clear, so cool. It was very cool, like the mind of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And it was as bright as his heart, it is explained. And it was ready for Lord Jagannath to arrive there. So when the people saw, they were quite amazed that how could such cleansing take place. And similarly, when a devotee, Lord Chaitanya wants to clean his heart in a similar way, so that Lord Krishna can come and reside there. And that will be success of our sadhana. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Premanande Hare. Time is over, so I'll not take any questions. Thank you. Hare Krishna.